In this life, gotta make your own deals, chase your own thrills, pay your own bills. On the outer loop, sitting on chrome wheels, phone synced up to the newest chrome bills. On air, who cares if it's right or wrong? I just care which guests they invited on. Without a minute to stall, and there was liquor involved with some hype songs. And the night is young, right on cue, the talking begins. And we check out what Steve Bill's got on the blends. A bit grimy, a backdrop from the late 80s to the mid 90s, till it finally takes us to a rhythm that works. And K-Chrome spits a verse that he didn't rehearse. Both flex skills, proving it's all in. So gather round for the newest installment, Chrome Bills.
Episode number 15. 15.
Set it off, troop. Get busy.
Introducing the Chrome Bills podcast featuring Steve Bills.
Who are you?
Hello.
Steve's Mikes.
We did it, gentlemen. We did it.
K Chromazone, and brought to you by Rumple Mints.
I was like, hey, everybody hanging out tonight. It's been great. So I just invited my friend, Steve, and he told me Mr. Mumble
Yo,
come
you just
hang
stop
out
immediately with that shit. But
I just brought a man a Mumble, and
dude,
I was saying if you guys want to hang out with you.
Windows are closing throughout the world on that shit.
Welcome everybody to the show, and we going to get a good one, fooch.
Please stop.
I mean, I really don't know the direction you're going with that.
All I can
There's
say
a lot
is
of possibilities.
This is supposed to be an entertaining, intelligent podcast about hip-hop music and culture and fashion.
Fashion is something that I think the three of us cumulatively have, like, a fashion sense.
I have three pairs of New Balances.
He's verified.
My socks match my pants.
We got sneakerheads over
that's
here.
That's the only thing I care about is my comfortable shoes. Other than that, I don't care how I look.
Yo, but back up in the lab for the first time in, like, 3 weeks, one thing I'm trying to wrap my head around is, now that we have a bunch of these podcasts, how do we actually get people to listen to them?
The answer is
violent threats.
I think the best thing to do is spam people on Twitter and tell them, yo, check out my music.
Yeah.
I'm making dope music, like real hip-hop music.
Yo, that was we totally slept on the bit. The bit was going to be, so now that between all of us we have three individual Twitter accounts and the Chrome Bills account, the goal was going to be to take the five worst music spams of the week and like bring them on and break them apart. We got to do that for the next show because I really want to.
I mean, we all have phones here.
I really want to put
let's
people
look them
on
up
blast.
Now.
Do you have some good ones? Hey, man, check out my stuff. Real hip hop, dude.
You know what's crazy to me? Like when I still have a Yahoo account, which is so stupid. But every time I go into the spam folder, it just says local sluts online. Like Janine wants to say hi. Like, who would respond to this? How dumb would you have to be? I almost feel like it's like panhandlers. If they're like, look, I'm going to take the $5 and go get alcohol. Like, I'm more inclined to give it to you.
Oh, dude, in Times Square, though, that shit has been beaten to death. Like, in Midtown, they're like, all these guys, that it's just the novelty of someone wants to take a picture of a bum with that sign. It's like, I'm not going to lie, it's for weed and alcohol.
Right. All of them.
One guy actually said, I'm not going to lie, it's for Viagra.
Well, see, I do the same thing, but I have a home. I don't know if that makes me any different.
Cole just brings that on stage when he's about to start rocking. He's got the sign. Yeah. He's like, buy my merch. I'm not going to lie. It's for weed and alcohol.
Right.
I think a lot of the homeless people actually have homes. They're just jobless. So maybe we should change. We should amend it to say
jobless.
A friend
of mine, you know, Ali, not the one that's up there, but the other Ali, he thinks there's like there was a dude in College Park. He's like, oh, I watched this dude for like an hour. At the end of the day, he just crossed the median and went to like a Mercedes-Benz utility vehicle. He's like, that dude was full of shit.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard these myths before.
I don't know.
About people climbing into Beamers.
Where I work at the bar in D.C., there's like three homeless people that I see to the point where it's crossed my mind, are they undercover cops? Like, they're not, but I see them that often in that role. Mm-hmm.
It would definitely not surprise me if it was somehow related to the CIA. And the CIA just like put out a RFP for people that wanted to come on and be bums all over the world and like be the eyes and ears of the agency.
Yeah.
Does that sound paranoid?
Squad.
That does sound very paranoid.
Wait, is it 2004 again?
That Holy is a great fuck. Theory.
This sounds like it would be a really good 80s TV show.
The Bum Squad. Just,
it just it follows around a bunch of dudes that are just in the CIA.
I saw a movie called Bum Squad, but it had nothing to do with the CIA.
What
was it just British, British bubble butts? Who calls it a bum?
You're right.
You know what they call cigarettes
over
there.
I mean, I'd watch it. Yeah, I was over there when I was 14. This woman comes up to me. I was with my dad at a bar, which now that I think about it, it's kind of odd. But this woman comes up. She's like, "Do you have a fag?" It's like, "Bitch, I'm about to punch you." My dad was like, "No, she's asking for a cigarette, and he doesn't smoke." And I was like, "Why are we here?" I'm too young.
That is incredible. So what's good? I haven't seen Cole since the last Chrome Bills podcast, episode 14. Check it out on SoundCloud.
Can you see him now? He seems to be moving around a lot.
Yeah, usually he's standing and I just see his, like, thorax.
His thorax.
Well, here's where episode 15 is brought to you by Sam Semantics. Anything you don't understand, just email it to Sam and he'll break it down for you. But I sent an email saying, I got hit by a deer 2 weeks ago. And you wrote back saying, you need to explain the difference in terms of hitting the deer and being hit by it. This deer fucking ran straight into my car. I shit you not.
Oh, so it ran into the side of the car?
I was on BW Parkway going north. I see a deer jump the median, just like heading like a missile at me. I turn back around to look at the road because I know I'm about to get hit. And it was like being hit by eight linebackers at once.
And you were in your car running?
Oh, dude, I wouldn't be here if I was running. I was in my car.
Can you imagine getting just, if you were out jogging and you just got hit by a deer?
Put a Redskins helmet on that thing. Fuck. So I blew out the driver's side window, took off the mirror. There's glass in my hair. I got home that night, I was taking a shower. I like poured alcohol on my head to see if there's any cuts, and it was like my head was on fucking fire.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you go to the doctor or hospital or anything?
No, I should have. I had pretty bad headaches for about a week. I took a couple days off, and then now I feel fine. It was just scary, you know?
We're glad you're okay.
Caesar's not very proactive. I know you have like excellent insurance through the government, too. I probably could have gone to an array of doctors for less than like $40.
Yeah. Well, you know what? This is a message for everybody out there. Whatever insurance you're going to skimp on, if you drive, don't make it your car insurance. Because, dude, that shit, like, that was over $5,000 worth of damage. If not, if the car had been totaled, I'd have been fucked.
Right.
God damn.
So,
up your deductible, people.
Well, I mean, if you're not at fault, your only deductible is going to be $100. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Don't skip on the shit. Anyway, I don't know what the hell. Well, to bring it back to the podcast, that deer actually was trying to hand me its mixtape.
Yo, it was so funny when
I heard about the podcast here.
When Steve was up in New York last weekend, we went to the Comedy Cellar in Manhattan, and one of the comedians had a joke about when you're in New York, you can't trust other people's kindness. So he was out of town, and like some guy came up to him and just started talking, and he was like, "Leave me alone! I don't want your rap CD."
That's a real thing out there.
That's awesome.
Oh yeah. No one has offered me an album yet. I've been here for 2 months. I'm kind of disappointed. Am I become that far away from looking like I'm a part of the hip hop culture? Whereas people are just like, this square motherfucker does not want my rap CD.
No, because those guys offer it to everybody.
That's true. They'd offer that shit to my mom.
Do you think subconsciously you're so used to deflecting it that you just walk right by it, don't even register it?
I've developed this like kind of look when I'm by myself and I have headphones in that I might be crazy and like willing to like bite your ear off. So it keeps people from talking to me too much.
I don't believe that. Come on, you serious?
Yeah, dude.
You're not a mean mugger.
No, just on, dude. It wears on you quick. Like, yeah. I was saying, the first couple times I was on the... I think I was telling you the story when you were up here. The first couple times I was on the subway and, like, kids would come in. They're like, "Ladies and gentlemen, the show's about to start." And they'd, like, start breakdancing. I was like, "Oh, this is so New York right now." And then, like, a week later, I'm like, "Yo, I just got off a fucking 9-hour day at work. I'm trying to listen to the music in my headphones. Like, you're playing trap music and breakdancing on the fucking C train. Can you really just go fuck yourself, please?" Like, shit gets old quick.
To Electric Boogaloo on the third rail. So, I haven't even listened to any rap music in the past 3 weeks. So,
dude, I listened to a lot this week.
Did you?
Tony Touch, you guys are familiar with the Tony Touch 50, was it 55 MC mixtapes back in the day?
It's 50 MC.
Is it 50?
Was the one
I threw an extra
he
five
was famous
on there,
for, yeah.
As a tip.
You gave him an extra five?
Yeah, and he's got a new one out. It's cool because most of the people on there could have been on the ones that came out in 1990.
Just a quick question. Is there a Styles P and Freeway song on there? I'm sorry, Styles P, Bun B, and Freeway track.
I think any recent rap release is actually required to have 16
any
bars
respectable
from
release.
Any or all of the people you just named. I thought that was real funny. I actually like a lot of joints off the Static Selector, so I'm not clowning, but Steve and I have a joke about those guys being on everybody's albums, and there's definitely a track with, like, Little Fame, Styles P, and Bun B, I believe, is the track list. I don't know. I could
and
be
Bun
wrong.
B, yeah.
Bun B is on everybody's
shit. I think whatever... that those guys have good managers.
Yeah, their managers
are
working hard.
They're the first people that they call when... I'm a producer and I want to put out a solo album. Call Bun B now.
It's like Bob Saget showed up on a Law & Order episode.
Uh-huh.
You know, his handler was like, yo, we got to get this dude on this show. Same thing.
He's got good representation.
Yeah. Man. We got to be part of this.
I wonder how many times Bun B has said the word trill in his life. Does it just lose all meaning?
A trillion.
Yo, that's insane. Hit the soundboard.
I'm trying to put my whole paw on the soundboard right now.
Put my paw on it.
Yo, that'd be a nice rap hook. Put my paw
put,
on
put your
it.
Paw, put your paw
dog on it.
It.
That'd be some southern rap shit.
So do you ever read while you're on the subway, or are you always listening to music?
I listen to music. I listen to podcasts. You know, it's well documented, my love and affection for the Ron and Fez show. In particular, Ron Bennington. I am reading a book right now, though, one of the Chuck Klosterman books from when he used to write for Spin Magazine. Do you know who that guy is? He writes for Grantland now.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's called A Decade of Curious People and Dangerous Ideas. This is actually a very organic segue. Wow. Because I had pulled this book out. I wanted to read one thing that I found last weekend when I was reading it, where he's doing an interview with Bono. And they're talking about the merchandising of music. And he's like, just check this out and then respond and react. It's a couple sentences.
Okay.
Says, I'll jump in mid-conversation. I'm very fond of Steve Jobs personally. I'm a fan of his company, and you know, we already operate within this kind of corporate structure. We've all been whining about how white rock and roll has its head in the sand on a lot of these issues, and how hip-hop has a much more honest approach. Russell Simmons laughs at all those middle-class college kids who are more preoccupied with the fear of selling out than merchandising music. I've never been afraid of commerce, and I've never been afraid of the people who run music companies. Respond, react.
Can you read that one more time?
No.
Who did you say said that?
That was Bono from U2. But I thought it was interesting because I associate the underground hip-hop culture with being more white, for lack of a better word, than, like, mainstream hip-hop. And it's always the underground that's like, it's for the art, man! You know, and it kind of falls into what he was saying about how the rock bands are more concerned about selling out. And most rap shit is like, hey, man, for $10,000, you want the hook to be about Cavassier? Let's do it. I mean, this Chrome Bills podcast is brought to you by Rumplemans.
I think it's sort of a misnomer, though, as to who makes up... When they say that makes up the community or that participates, they're talking about who buys the music. Like, that's such an American way of looking at it.
Oh, I think they were talking about the artists. That there's a lot of, like, sort of garage band... This episode is brought to you by Garage Band. There's a lot of garage band, like, rock bands that would... totally turn away at the idea of doing something for Nike. Especially, keep in mind, this book was written 10 years ago. Now the internet is like, hey, fuck it. It's enough people with integrity have done good shit, but I think there was definitely a reluctance. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Probably because you can't get paid anymore. You know? It's much more competitive because the market is so flooded that...
I mean, really, the hardest way to get paid from making music is selling it.
Yeah.
You know, if you get something synergy with a commercial or a movie, you'd be crazy to turn that down.
Yeah, unless you're fucking Macklemore or something.
Yeah. It's a good point that I made that you followed up on.
This episode of Chrome Bills has been brought to you by Seamless Web.
Actually, no, Chuck had a song in a movie.
I did.
Is that true?
Yo, and I think I've told you this, that my, they actually play my song in the movie. The movie's called Mo, as in
M-O-E M-O. Or M-O?
As in short for okay. H-O-M-O.
As in, I was going to say modus operandi.
Short for modus operandi. But they play the song in the movie, and they talk about the song, and they talk about the group that made the song, but they don't actually reference me. They make up a fake group name for a African-American rapper named King Sweet. King Sweet. I kid you not.
Close. That's crazy. Did you sign anything saying that you were okay with that?
They just asked for rights. I mean, they cut the check. You know, I can't. When you CTC, you can do whatever. And honestly, the fact that I watched the movie might have doubled the viewership of this crappy movie.
Wasn't Robin Williams in it or something?
No, the youngest kid from Malcolm in the Middle is in the movie. And the mom from Million Dollar Baby.
So very random. Okay.
But as a segue out of that, I would like to remind you that today's Chrome Bills podcast is brought to you by Rumplemints. Rumplemints, peppermint schnapps. Because at least once in everyone's life, they should utter the phrase, "It tastes just like mouthwash." Crystallizing bottle caps at a bar near you. Rumplemints.
Did you read that off a bottle of Rumplemints?
That's the press sheet they gave me. Like I said, cut the check, and you're on the Chrome Bills podcast.
I did a little legwork this week. There's a company that I've been following for about 5 years now. I really like them. What they do is they sell mirrors for staring contests. So you have a staring contest with yourself. Well, you always win, but you always lose. That's our sponsor this week.
They make you feel good about winning all the time.
Right.
But it keeps you humble because you always lose.
What's the company name?
I was hoping you weren't going to ask that.
Yo, how do you not have the company name?
It's the Staring Contest Mirrors, Incorporated, LLC, Esquire.
Like, taxi driver mirrors, what are you looking at?
Right.
Hey, what you looking at? That's some cliche New York language. Hey, Steve, why don't you reflect on your visit to the Big Apple last weekend?
Yeah. We saw DJ Don spin at the Lead Belly,
nice.
Which I believe he has a residency at. And it was turned up. Not turned up, it was turned up.
And the Lead Belly is where? Chinatown,
Chinatown. And what's cool about the bar is that they have a costume box at the bar.
Yeah.
So as people start to get loose, the wigs come out, the costumes come out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should have seen
there was
Ali
a lot of
in a full body caterpillar costume at one point.
Really?
Yeah. That was definitely nice. And we also did a little bit of hip hop, a little bit of hip hopness. We went and saw Ricky Powell DJ at the Fat Buddha Bar in the Lower East Village, and that was pretty cool because Crazy Legs from the Rock Steady Crew was up in the spot. And I'm glad that Chuck was there with me because I looked at Morgan and told her, "Oh my God, that's Crazy Legs," and her face was extremely blank. And then Justin was there too, and it was funny because Chuck and I both pulled up Crazy Legs on Wikipedia started like reading his bio.
Right.
Almost simultaneously.
Simultaneously. I'm like, this guy was in Wild Style, you know?
Yeah.
He was like, in Flashdance.
Yeah, like this guy, they had like a 2020 documentary on like hip hop music, and like there's a little a video in the background of Crazy Legs dancing.
There's a new art form called breakdancing.
Right, this is breakdancing.
He inspired me on that path. I used to be a breakdancer. When people would say dance, I'd say I don't. They'd say, "Well, what's your name?" I'd say Lazy Legs.
Yo.
Has that joke been done before? Is that on the spot?
I hope no one's used
it. There's a Lewis Logic lyric on a song where it's like a nostalgic song, and he says, "There was even a cripple kid in my neighborhood. We called him Lazy Legs."
That's dope.
But he rhymes Lazy Legs with Crazy Legs.
It's good. It's accurate. Oh yeah, man. I guess in New York City, just legends hang out all the time in New York City.
Yeah, I feel like the East Village and Alphabet City and all that shit is like prime time for running into people. I mean, name dropping, but I, like, that's where I ran into Homeboy Salmon and Feral Monch and Mr. Len and all that stuff. And speaking of name dropping, we were with E. Don that night. E. Don, the humble magnificent. Well,
big respect to E. Don, because there's an exhibit going on right now at the Gavin Gallery. Afrika Bambaataa donated his records to a gallery, and it's currently being, they're archiving all of Afrika Bambaataa's records, and you can go there during the day and go through his record collection. And Edan was lucky enough to be selected to go up and just DJ Afrika Bambaataa's records during the day while people are just checking out the exhibit.
That's amazing.
So it's pretty dope. Yeah, there's a video of him online cutting up two copies of a Talking Heads record that Bambaataa used to spin at like the inception of hip hop, and Edan's like doubling up on it. It's very cool.
Yeah,
it's insane.
Yeah. He's very talented. I like that guy.
It was very interesting when I asked E. Don what he thought about the Chrome Bills podcast, and he said, "What is that?
What is it?"
Actually, he said he had heard the theme song, and he liked
it. I sent him the theme song. He liked the theme song, but one day we'll get him on here.
So, Steve, what's your... I mean, you've been to New York a bunch of times, but what was your immediate reaction from the last trip?
My thoughts about New York now is that it is a playground for smart people.
Wow.
I heard...
That's actually a very well-described point. Wow.
Yeah, I heard Michael Holman talk about it on the Combat Jack Show, and that's what he said. It's a playground for smart people. And like, you know, the scary rides are, like, scary neighborhoods you can go through. But, yeah, there's just tons to do. That's a rich person city now.
It's very competitive, too.
It's competitive. You got to be on your game.
Yeah.
It's nice. I mean, that place, it's super nice, man.
Yeah.
It's not like, if you talk to somebody around here, like, oh, I'm going to New York City, they're like, oh, really? It's like, oh, it's so scary. Like, no, it's not. It's where rich people hang out and have fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Although Brooklyn's a little bit, I mean, we made our way out to Billyburg at one point during the trip, and
that's hipster
town,
there's
a discernible difference between Manhattan and Brooklyn. I mean, for sure.
Yeah. It's a hipster's paradise.
It is.
Yeah, we went to this mall where there's all these like trendy kind of boutiques, and I don't know, I just feel like people have way too much disposable income to spend money on things that are going to be, that are very trendy and are going to be out of style very quickly.
Like, yeah, it was like, what was the, there were necklaces for like a slang word I'm not even used to hearing people, ratchet. They were like ratchet necklaces.
Like gold necklaces, like $200 gold necklaces that say ratchet on them.
Ratchet.
Wow.
That's terrible.
I respect that people feel differently, including you two. I just hate being around people like that. I don't mean like that. I just hate being around people, period.
Yeah, Cole, I feel like Cole is one of the few people that if he moved to New York, he would immediately be like, fuck this, and his mind would never change.
Yeah, I can't see enjoying it at all.
Nah, you would dig the bar scene.
See,
like,
once
you found a couple like cool spots to hang out with, where you're going to hear like world-renowned DJs, you could probably have a drink or a beer.
I got two cool spots to hang out.
All right.
My bedroom and the TV room. Those are the two best clubs I've
ever
been.
Those are good spots, yeah.
Well, no, it's funny you say that, though, because I swear when I lived in Bethesda, I watched so much TV. You know, like, that was my weekday ritual. Was, like, go to work, maybe work out afterwards, and eventually, like, plant myself in front of the TV. And I thought, like, I watched really entertaining stuff. And up here, I don't even notice it, but, like, buying cable was probably the worst investment of anything I've done in New York, and keep in mind everything here is like super expensive and a bad investment.
Yeah. You'll probably come back around once you realize that you've been spending $100 a day on food and drinks.
Yeah, but no, but I don't do it like the way that we did the weekend you're up. I mean, I can go out for, you're right, it's still like $30. I can make $30 last like an entire weeknight easily.
I feel like it's definitely a human need to be around other people, and you might not ever outgrow that, especially now that you have the opportunity to experience it.
Yeah. I mean, I can't, this is a very cliche thing to say after being here for 2 months. By the way, every time I see Steve look over to the right of the screen, I'm like wondering if we're still up and running.
We're good for now.
As a sidebar.
His head will collapse into his hands. That's how you
normally
know
I hit
over.
My forehead on the microphone when, yeah. when the system crashes. So.
God damn it.
But I,
not that that's
I,
happened twice.
I can't see you leaving here anytime soon. It's just a... It's a great experience. You know, it's a completely different way of living. And I was plenty happy before I moved up here. It wasn't like I had this missing void. But once I got here, I was like, holy shit, this is so much different and also very enjoyable.
Yeah, it's very engaging and stimulating.
Actually, I think from that angle, Cole, like if you did move up here, your writing game would probably go off the chain.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be interested to see if you did, like, a six-month New York stint and did an album, like...
It'd be called Fuck This Place.
No, it'd probably be the album, like, the Season Mike's album I've always wanted.
Yeah.
And it would have a lot... There would be fuck in the title. I don't know if it'd be Fuck This Place. It might just be called Fuckity Fuck.
Fuckity Fuck.
Is there an album... There should be a rap album called Just Fuck. I don't know if there is
fuck
yet, but...
There's a cool... I listened to that Gaslamp Killer album that you,
Yeah, Breakthrough.
You shared with me the Breakthrough joint, which I love. The Nassim track is insane with the Turkish instruments. But there's a song on there where there's someone talking about the word fuck and the different ways it can be used. And then he shows how it can be like a noun, a verb, an adverb, and an adjective all in the sentence. He's like, I'm fucking so fucking. Like, it's just amazing. It makes a coherent sentence.
That's
I can't even
track.
Mimic it. It's great. Mm-hmm. So when you getting the GLK on the Chrome Bills podcast?
Soon. Big respect to the Gaslamp Killer. He was recently in a little bit of an accident and lost his spleen. So speedy recovery, brother.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, whoa. I saw the scar on like Instagram or something, and it definitely put my complaining about my knee surgery into a lot of perspective.
Yeah.
Wow. Way to bring us down.
Sorry.
So no, I think you I look listen, at it positive.
I listened to your album several times, man.
Yeah.
I liked it.
What'd you think? Yeah.
I liked it. I especially liked the one song that I texted you about.
Oh, yeah.
Number 14.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got the mastered copy of it today.
Are you guys teasing, like, maybe we'll get a track at the end of the episode that people
could play
hang
track
on
14
for?
At the end of this episode?
Yeah. Let me give you the mastered version, but yeah.
Dope.
Yeah, that'd be dope. Yeah, I haven't heard other than... the joint, Cole, that you sent me about rocking a verse to at the show next weekend.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Well, I think you might have played me one night when we were very drunk.
I have a zip. Once I get the masters the way I want them to sound, I'll send them to both of you guys.
Okay, tight. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Chrome Bills listeners, please support my man right here.
Give me money.
$1.
I need money.
You just need $1.
$1.
Yeah.
I'll get another bacon cheeseburger. Now, actually, to be perfectly honest, you know, I try to be a humble dude about a lot of things. I have so much money. It's become a burden. I don't have enough houses to put it in. My banks, I filled up every bank in America with all my money. There's just not enough places to put it
anymore. Yeah, I'm pretty rich, too. So
it's a problem.
Yep.
I'm rich.
I'm going to go on a ratchet shopping spree this weekend.
Dude.
What is that? What does it mean?
Trifling. I think it's
for a dude or a woman?
It's for a woman.
Oh, really?
Like a trifling woman would be ratchet.
Wow.
Wow. What instrumental are you hearing in the background?
It's like a step up from
I feel like I got off cut, but I'm hearing us come out of, you know, I'm number one competition is none.
Okay, good. So we're on the same page.
Okay. I went to adjust the volume and I accidentally like skipped the track around and then I tried to bring it back, but...
No, we're good.
We're close
enough. But here we are. We're good. Go ahead.
30 minutes in. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Oh, are you at the 30-minute mark? I'm at 29.
No, we're at 29.
Okay. Good.
I was rounding up.
So it's Chrome Bills, episode 15.
Happy birthday to me last week.
Oh, really? Oh, that's right. Yeah, happy birthday.
Yeah, thanks, man.
I think I sent you an email or text.
Did. Something.
Just as impersonal as possibly I could be.
You waved.
Yeah. I waved in the direction I thought you were standing in.
Steve, where are you at? Are you Charles Barkley now?
34? Yeah. Yep.
Nice. I'm still Patrick Ewing.
Yeah, your birthday is in November, right?
Yep. So I'm holding on to those double threes for as long as I can.
It all changes. I think 34 is the new 30.
Yeah.
Because when I turned 30, things definitely took a turn for the worse.
Yeah.
But after I turned 34, there's a lot of things that are done right now.
My knee exploded the day after my birthday.
I'm kind of looking forward to, like, one of the comedians I saw at the Cellar was talking about how comforting it is to realize that you don't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that sort of peace of mind. It's like that.
Yeah, because I feel like when
that you've got pizza sauce on your cheek feeling where like it doesn't even matter. You're like, whatever, I'll get it when I get home.
Or when I feel like when I fuck up, like certain people are disappointed. I don't want that responsibility.
Right.
Just if I fuck up, who cares?
That's that guy that fucks up all the time.
Yeah.
He's doing what he does.
Yeah, we wouldn't have him any other way.
There's
so
on
what
the,
did you, what did
on
you
the,
do
the,
for your birthday? Did you get a stripper?
Yeah. She's my wife.
Hey, yo.
Hey, well, yo.
I don't know. I didn't mean it like that. It was just a funny thing to say.
There's nothing funny, but that's somebody's daughter, man, taking their clothes off, just trying to pay the bills.
I believe that's somebody's granddaughter.
That's somebody's grandchild.
Yeah,
good pull.
Damn wild. Can't believe that's somebody's grandchild.
How long is it with a sham wow? The soundboard.
Just touch every button. Hit them off. Hit them off.
Who are you?
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead. You're right. I think that's good. I think that's real good. How hot is it in your place right now, Chuck? No AC because it can get picked up on the mic. How hot are we looking?
Let me see. I actually have a thermostat.
Yeah. What do you think it is? What it is right now?
You guys want to guess? I know the number.
82.
It's not that bad. 78.
It's not bad. We're at a cool 75 right now.
Respectable.
I
got some stagnant
quarters.
Air, dude. I live in a shoebox, so like. The other thing is there's no air circulation, so I'm pretty much breathing the air I exhaled in like minute four of the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're basically in a mosquito net. What do you got going on, man? What's on the agenda?
I'm just vibing out right now.
You got to fucking talk.
Check it.
This isn't the listen
podcast. I don't need
podcast.
To talk. You know what it is? I'm dead sober. It's very strange.
Yeah.
Dude, I've been how are sober you not drinking? It's a Friday night.
I've been sober since I left New York City.
Why?
Well, there's a good reason, because all we did was
fucking
booze.
Locked up. Oh, we boozed out. We boozed pretty hard. Oh. I actually, Friday night, we were getting these nice shots that were vodka and grapefruit juice, and we probably did 5 rounds of them. I don't remember getting home. I remember getting into the hotel room and making a bed on the bathroom floor out of the towels.
Because you thought you were going to Earl?
Oh, dude, I did Earl. So I puked in the bathroom, and then... I went out to the couch, turned on some really freaky movie, like about like kids planning a school shooting.
Dude, don't you think? Can I just interrupt you for
okay,
one
sorry,
second?
Go ahead. Uh-huh.
Doesn't there need to be a channel for the? I'm trying to like wait out this drunkenness. I've noticed that because late at night, all the channels are curtailed to like the people that are naturally up at that time. Like they're just so demented in the brain.
Later.
Everything's a fucking horror movie or like softcore. I'm
it's
like, where
up.
The fuck is the channel? Like, can't I just have like the, I don't know, like the dude going for a very leisurely canoe ride?
Give me like a nice Sanford and Son episode. That'll sober me up. You know,
I think there's something very specific to what you're saying. You got to tailor a whole. It's no different than Comedy Central. People looking for something funny.
Just
you're looking for something to soothe the hangover.
I think it's the old. What's the old TV network that they show all the old stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. That
like I can watch a Charlie's Angels
some
episode.
Some Nick at Night or some shit like that.
Something just relaxing. I don't need to watch like kids shooting up their school while I'm trying to puke.
Yeah, they're like, here's the Vice episode about the South Side of Chicago.
Right.
Yes.
You ever get into Law and Order, Chuck?
Nope.
That's been my jam lately. That's how I know. I'm going to start watching, like, Murder, She Wrote and shit. How old is Cole? 67, I think?
Seriously.
Jesus.
Although I'm embarrassed to say, I was watching a really bad movie before you guys hit me up to do the podcast.
Do tell.
Meet the Fockers.
Okay, I was gonna say, damn it, I should have guessed because that was my fucking guess.
It's on HBO like every Friday.
Terrible. Jesus, is that a terrible
It's so
movie.
Awful.
It's a fucking.
I do
awful.
Feel like that's kind of like the that might be the most palatable thing when you're hungry. You don't have to think. It gives you an outlet for your anger.
You know
you're
what,
angry at yourself for drinking. You're like, God, this movie sucks.
Do you know what movie is just like that? It's called, okay, Analyze This and Analyze That are fucking in that same lane right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about Something's Got to Give?
I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is.
It's a Jack Nicholson movie.
Okay.
It's bad. Yeah.
You got to give me my money back for paying for this fucking movie. That's what's got to give.
Did I watch The Conjuring a couple weeks ago?
Why are you asking me?
No, I did. I saw that shit. I'm scared of horror movies. It's quite sad.
Yeah. You get nightmares?
No, but I'm just like, I went with two of my friends, and I couldn't even look at it. I'm like, tell me when it's over.
Dude, I went and saw Hostel in the movie theater.
Dude, you're a grown-ass man.
I know. And I'm like, tell me when it's over. Tell me when the death scene's over.
Have you seen Hostel, Chuck?
No. I've never been into horror movies.
I've caught that one where I was like, I don't know what this movie's about, and then all of a sudden it gets extremely...
I went and saw it on opening night. I sat in the middle of like the third aisle, so I was just fucking sardine in there. There's this one scene that's really over the top gruesome. I flat out had a panic attack, dog. I was like, I have to get out of here.
Yeah.
And I looked around. I was like, I can't move because I'm so fucking like encased in here.
Yeah.
I just sat there sweating for like 10 minutes.
Yo, by the way, I'm going to do something groundbreaking and go back to hip hop for a second.
Okay.
But is this the, I didn't mean to cut you off. I really just wanted to ask while this beat was playing. Is this Escape from New York instrumental?
Yeah, it is. It is Escape from New York.
This is my theme song.
What do you know actually about this? Cole, can you, this is a Sadonic song with Diamond D, I think. Is it Diamond D or P-Rock?
P-Rock.
Yeah, it's P-Rock, yeah.
You can hear him talking in the background.
Yeah, that's why.
He originated the talking in the background.
Yeah.
Dude, Cole, I want you to do a cover of this song, Escape from New York.
Escape from New York.
Dude, the beats on this album are pretty slamming.
I mean, what I've determined after listening to this song is that a 21-gun salute isn't nearly enough.
It isn't nearly enough.
I came to the city for a weekend. I was enjoying till I found all the people so fucking annoying.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say fucking in every line.
Fucking fuck.
The bagels are good, though. So is the pizza.
Have a knish, but don't eat the fish.
I do feel like that would really be something that might keep me there is the food. Because every time I've been up there just walking around, the stuff you can get just all over the place is amazing.
Steve, did you eat any good food while you were up in New York?
No. Nothing remarkable. I had the best pizza of all time. Dude, I have a problem with getting rid of leftovers. I don't know if you know this about me.
What do you mean?
So we got a pizza from Angelo's.
Adrian's on Stone Street in downtown.
Definitely the best pizza I've had in the past 5 years. Maybe top five all time.
What was so dope about it?
I don't know, man. Just the crust, the sauce. It was all just...
It was on point.
It was all working. And we got sausage and peppers on top. And we were really hungry when we got there, so we just kind of overloaded on the bread and appetizers. And then we couldn't finish the pizza. And I was really just conflicted about... We were going to go out afterwards, so I was really conflicted about leaving this pizza there.
How much are we
two slices.
You gotta let that go.
No, dude, I was like looking to our table next to us, like I was really considering asking these guys if they wanted to have these two slices of pizza.
It'd be dope if you really had bad OCD about it. You're like, I'm gonna give this to you, give me your number, I'll call you later tonight so I can come pick it up.
And just make sure that you ate it. Or don't touch it.
Don't fucking touch it.
Are you guys going home? Yeah. You have a fridge?
You are now.
So I wrapped the pizza up and then carried it around for like 5 minutes, and then I just threw it away. And that was a big step for me to actually...
At any point did you think about putting it in your pockets?
I thought about eating it and making myself sick. Just because I wasn't going to waste the food.
I meant to ask you, when we went to the Fat Buddha, I know you ordered some wings because you just wanted to try it.
Yeah.
How did that go down?
The wings were good. Yeah, check the wings at the Fat Buddha.
Dude, the fucking... the kimchi back was serious.
Ooh. So you take a shot of whiskey and then chase it with a shot of kimchi juice.
Really?
That's kind of the move.
That's actually kind of dope.
A kimchi back.
Kimchi is not... It's not super spicy, right?
It's like a lot of vinegar, chili flakes, pickle. Because they do pickle backs, right?
Dude, I think I let you try it, but you were still kind of hungover at... where were we? The Fatty Crab in the West Village?
Yep.
That was serious, dude. That was awesome.
I feel like pickle juice is a great chaser, but I don't know how it sits in the stomach with the whatever it is that you chase. That
it's
can't
supposed
be good.
To reduce the hangover because the main reason you're hungover is you lose all the salt in your body, and then pickle juice is like salt and vinegar, so it's also something that lets you absorb the salt.
Right. I'm into that.
I'm into that, too.
Yo, let me get my vinegar on. What if you just rolled to the club just straight drinking a bottle of vinegar?
I don't listen to Nickelback, but I'll take a shot of whiskey with a pickleback.
Rappers, it's a
good time. Where them puddles at? I'm jumping in them. let's begin it. I'm winning, you be sinning. Go to confession, I'm stressing. My crew is called the Resin, the Nation. I'm not black or Haitian like the Fugees was. Yo, this dude, he's crazy cuz he be spitting quick raps. You can get that. Get the error in the syntax on the TI-82 from a crazy crew with amazing fluid flows. Who was moving those? Who's jumping in? I can fucking win.
Yo.
Hit him in they fucking shin.
Yo, I'm on Twitter, and rappers want to follow me, but they're like Paula Deen, making up some collard greens. Not a good idea, you're past your prime. Everybody's like, C's has to rhyme. Fuck you, all I have to do is go home and get high. Turn on my DVR, then burn you with CDR. You buy it, cause fuck you, you're not worth the artwork. You ain't a smart jerk, I'm about to make your heart hurt. It explodes in your chest like an alien. Rappers want to pass, but sorry bro, you fail again. I got the paler skin underneath all that hair. It's testosterone. Get off the throne. Maybe you ought to flush. You getting crushed. Rappers are sounding dull. My favorite movie is Crawl. I'm picking at your skull like the Predator. I hold it to the sky. You're motherfucking right, I'm high. Just bought a vaporizer. I hate your nasal. Mine is wiser. I meant to say nature, but it's razor thin. I play to win, so yo, you gotta say again. Pass it off to K Chromosome. That's my friend.
I'm on stage and I bust right in time. C's, mics, I could tell that Steve Bills really wanted to rhyme. I'm in my concubine. It be the shoebox that I live in downtown Manyhaha. I tell a joke on stage and get many ha-has. Peace to Jay-Z, he was smoking on that Lala in a song with Pharrell. I'm like, oh well, it's so swell. I catch a wave from a fan as they go by. It's like the wave, so swell. Swell it up. Get the crimson tide. When I kick my rhymes, used to have a different ride. Now I don't even own a car no more, but I eat it up on stage like a carnivore. What you sparking for? You thought the word was clutch, and yo, I burn a Dutch. Get the microphone, get the volume, and I turn it up. See me rhyming? Have you learned enough? It be the K-Chrome. They call me K-Creasy. No, they don't, but it's still so easy to sound like it's 2013. Please, me, I please MCs. Readily, steadily, with the head of the better, than the better flows. You could never know. I go to Geppetto's. I walk around like I'm carrying puppets because they love this. I'm on some dumb shit, conniption, conniption, fit, spitting quick. Ridiculous rhythms that I kick. I hear the beat changing in so I can just make you grin and go on stage, leave afterwards, give daps, and make a friend.
Yeah.
I got a rhyme after this. Okay, it's time for me to flex skills and show my lyrical prowess. I'm on the prowl, you on the couch, you eating a sandwich. I'm drinking sangria with Santana and his Antina. I call his Aunt Tia, that's Spanish. I can't manage doing much damage, huh?
Hey,
yo.
Yo,
this is not province right here?
Yo, check this shit out.
I've been a madman. I've been a madman.
Check. Hey, yo, your standards to fall. I can't stand you at all. Less player, more bitch than D'Angelo Hall. Shut the fuck up. You always getting hurt at training camp. I'm about to rain a stamp. Fuck all your postage. You're just an ostrich. That's the only way you're underground. Cause you don't see or hear anything. Not a sound makes it down underneath all that soil from which you toil. But I'm about to spoil like pot. Something just dropped. Was that Steve Jarek after my lyrical Glock left him shot? That's a 90s rhyme. So it's such a weak metaphor. I'm here to settle scores, I'm better than yours. I remember the scores that I used to make with my left hand to prep. Chuck was there, he can tell you the truth. I got a left like Keith Booth. Psych, I'm just lying. That's why I'm not applying my ambidextrous skills. The righty with the left, lefty with the right when I'm grabbing on the mic. But I could switch it up, hear the beat drop. And next Saturday, y'all be in Baltimore with the beatbox. It's Max Bent, you know it's broken clock. Rappers ought to stay home and start choking cock. Cause you're not getting anywhere, but neither am I. So that's why I gotta grab the microphone and supply. I hope every rapper dies but Chuck. Cause then I'd probably have better luck selling records, yeah. It'd just be me and him, we could tour the world. But there wouldn't be any more boys or girls in the crowds. Cause everybody raps nowadays, that'd be the entire population. Fuck the copulation, I'm about to stop chasing the rhythm. So pass it off to K-Chrome and tell them what you give them.
Who are you?
Yes.
Jesus, H. Christmas. You guys are going the fuck in. Okay, there you go. Yo, that was an ill freestyle session.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I got at least 12 seconds of freestyling
bounce
in there.
Nice job, fellas.
Bounce.
Hey, yo. Bounce.
We did it. Earlier when I said we did it, I knew this was going to happen. This is what we did. We did it. Great job.
Dude, black helicopters? Am I?
You are lined up.
I'm linked up and lined up. Nice.
I felt like this, if you notice, all the instrumentals on this are like 90s underground here. I got a Saya joint in there. I got black helicopters. I got Bounce. I got Sadat X here. This is extra backpacker.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is one that's actually going to end up on the instrumentals are going to end up on my iPhone.
Definitely.
Walking around.
Definitely.
This is a little freestyle mix.
Tom and his life.
I'm going to make a rap CD over these beats and hand it to Chuck in New York. I'm only going to make one copy.
Yes. Actually, you should do your Escape from New York album over this entire thing.
Yeah.
It would be 58 minutes of C's Mics.
Just being angry.
So 58 minutes with C's Mics.
So you sent me a email today that said Joey Badass is MF Doom.
Yeah, and it was weird. So last night I was listening to the album and I feel like his approach is real similar. Like I don't think they sound alike. But I was getting into that zone of, like, I had headphones on and I was just listening. I'm like, God, this guy just, like, he comes in and he just dooms every track.
He does.
And I meant it as a compliment. I really like this Summer Nights joint.
What is it about his style? Like, because the one thing with Doom for me was always, it was very vivid stream of consciousness.
Yes.
Once you picked up on his thought, like, the way his thought pattern was going, what he was saying made a lot of sense.
So I kind of look at it like, freestyle is very stream of consciousness. And then if someone's like really in the zone freestyling, it's almost like verse worthy. And then those guys do a good job of writing, like, it's almost like imagine if he was coming off the head with this type of verse, but it's not off the head, but you can still get into that zone because you know it's not, they're not going out to like repeal Prop 8 or something with the lyric, you know. It's just like, what is Prop 8? I don't even know.
I'm not really. I think that's like that's like GMO foods or something. That's what Prop 8 is.
I think it's whether or not you can pass out rap CDs.
I don't want your rap CD.
Okay, so I guess I don't know Joey Badass's catalog like that, but I feel like MF Doom has been around forever. And before he even had the name MF Doom, he made classic albums. And I don't know that Joey Badass. I don't know that Joey Badass has a classic album yet. Yeah. So, painstakingly, we're making it through 48 minutes of Chrome Bills.
We didn't do it.
Yep.
I wonder if it'll be tough to hear on the playback that there's just been a couple technical difficulties and we're doing, you know how rappers would do punch-ins, like they spit four bars they really liked, run out of breath, come in, punch in on a different track. We're inventing podcast punch-ins. Chrome Bills, the first ever podcast about hip-hop, has just invented podcast punch-ins.
I think it's entirely possible. I think it's entirely possible that the Bum Squad has uncovered a plot to end the Chrome Bills podcast before it gets started. The CIA sold you a janky version of Pro Tools.
A janky version?
Janky.
Janky.
A janky version of Pro Tools. It keeps crapping out. They don't want to hear the truth. They're afraid of it, but we're giving you
Want to hear the breakdown of the Joey Badass album.
Right.
And how it relates to MF Doom.
Chuck, can you sing again?
Oh, yeah. Is that what we were talking about when it crapped out? You know, I just think an approach. You know, I just, like, the way I hear him come on a rhyme, it's like, I don't really know where this is going, but let's see where it takes me. And then by the eighth bar, you're like, holy fuck, if you wouldn't have liberated your style enough to just go stream of consciousness like a calculated freestyle, you never would have got to like that pattern or something like that.
Right.
Which MF Doom I was always amazed by was that if I listened to a song like two or three times, I'm like, holy shit, the trajectory of this verse is insane.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, see, Ghost is kind of similar, but his flow is so, like, distinct and to the point that everything feels calculated even if it isn't. I don't know if that thought makes any sense. It makes sense to me. But whereas, like, these other guys, you can tell they're kind of just going into it and being like, I'm gonna kill it. Like, the same way that a good MC would approach a freestyle.
I always felt that Doom was definitely his style was very comic book. And that the only thing about a comic book or a graphic novel you'll get a book's worth of plot in like a chapter. It covers a lot of ground in terms of the story, but it's very particular about the details that it chooses to point out. That's the same thing with Doom. Like, his stuff does, it makes a lot of sense once you start connecting the dots. It's very vivid in its description.
I completely agree. That's where he always caught me. With the Operation Doomsday album, I was just definitely bugged out at, like, the language and how he would bring in, like, stories and references, like, inside jokes with him and his friends that you could tell that he was just putting into a rhyme, you know? But you felt like it was your part of that joke, right?
Yeah.
God damn.
I mean, it's definitely it's a higher form of art. That's where I'm at with it.
That's where I'm at with it, too.
That's my stamp of approval.
Let's take a nap.
So, all right, yeah. So there's the, there's the Static Selector album, there's the Joey Beats, Summer Nights, there's the Tony Touch, there's the Adrian Young, there's Something About April. I'm trying to think of what I bumped this week. There's the Gaslamp Killer. I went back and listened to Section 80. Dude, I know that for the first four episodes of Chrome Bills, it was essentially the Chrome Bills talks about Kendrick Lamar and Rick Ross show. Yeah. But we haven't talked about it in a while. Steve, I'm really wondering, man. I love Good Kid, Mad City, but I think Section 80 might actually be the better record.
I think Section 80 is more my lane as well.
Like, when you go back, dude, I hadn't heard Fuck Your Ethnicity in like 6 months, and I heard it.
There are bangers. There are bangers on
that
album.
In the first track, and then even, you know, it's like the way that it's like Fuck Your Ethnicity, Hold Up, and then ADHD. Like, for those three songs to start a record, there hasn't been anything like that. In a really long time. Like, I'd have to really rack my brain to think of, like, an album that starts that strong.
Right.
Even albums I really like, sometimes, like, they start them on track two.
Now, how do you guys feel about Uptown Exo from the DMV?
Oh, that's the dude that's in Diamond District.
Yeah.
He's nice.
I listened to his latest album, Color de Grey. Which is nice, yeah. There's some definite.
That's the old thing about
it. It's all Odyssey beats, right? Shout out to Odyssey.
I don't know if they are.
Or
I think
maybe Kev Brown,
AB the Pro.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Yeah. Shout out.
Okay, yeah. So check out the XO Uptown XO album.
I'm gonna brag a little bit. The first time I met him, there was a battle at Capital City Records, and I ended up winning. And so I stepped outside with Artemis, and it was XO and a couple other people, and they're like, "We want to battle the two of you." So we just battled there, listening to beats from one of the dude's cars. And that's how I first met him. And at the end, I was like, "You're dope." He's like, "Yeah, you too, man."
Yeah.
So when we'd run into each other, he was throwing an open mic for a little while, and I checked it out a couple of times. Real cool dude.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing that blows me away about Diamond District is the similarities between them is not nearly as cavernous as the differences. Okay. Their styles are so different, mm-hmm. and it sounds so good together.
Yeah.
And then they sound good on their own.
Yeah.
Him, YU, and Odyssey.
It's a dope crew.
It is, man. Shout out to Low Budget. Yo, I still, Cole, think you need to get up on our boy Daryl Francis, the Quartermain. Like, the Quartermain record that came out on whatever label Damu is on. Is that Redefinition music?
Redefinition, yeah.
Yeah, the Quartermain album, it's called Quarter Life Crisis, is so fucking dope, man. It's really, really good. He kind of sounds like CL Smooth on shit.
Yeah, I gotta check that out, too.
There's a joint on there that's like, it's called Thinking of Giving Up, and it reminds me a lot of the song that we did on the first name basis, like the Pack It Up, Move It Out, It's Over joint.
Right.
But it's just like a different take on that, and after having written that song that we wrote, I think like I heard him do a similar concept, I was like, I still like our joint, and I really like what he did with it too.
Yeah. I like what you did there.
Yeah, that was a shameless plug.
Shameless plugging.
I'm gonna tweet to random people. I like you.
I
once again want to remind you that this Chrome Bills broadcast is brought to you by Rubble Mints, because everyone should have the chance to say this tastes like mouthwash, crystallizing a bottle cap at a bar near you.
I'm never gonna drink Rubble Mints. I don't think I've ever had.
Oh, they're disgusting. I shouldn't badmouth the sponsor like
you
that.
You like Fireball?
Fireball's good, man.
I don't know about all that.
Fireball is fucking disgusting.
A lot of people like it, man.
I can't do it.
Yeah, a lot of people like it.
I don't. You know what I have started to drink, though, Chuck? You were years ahead of me on this. But stouts.
Oh yeah, you used to hate stouts.
Yeah. Now that's all I want.
Yeah.
I don't want like 8 beers. I just want one good one.
That's how you like your women too?
Yeah. I don't need 8. I want quantity. Quality's over.
I don't need 8 women that add up to 800 pounds.
You just want one
stout. I want one
woman
that's stout and adds up to 800 pounds.
Yes. I want her to have a lot of calories.
All right. So, yo, Chrome Bill is signing out.
Oh, we crashed again.
Nah, we didn't. He's playing.
Just kidding.
His face was...
I kid with you.
For real, I want to give a shout out to everybody that's listening. All 4 of you.
I'd like to give a shout out to that person listening. Don't kill yourself.
Get through this work day.
Yeah.
You can make it.
Or you can't. What do I care? I'm getting paid either way.
Please tell one person about the show. Or else we're just recording this for ourselves.
At a certain point, we'll be like, we have enough conversations of our own. We've archived this very well. Let's come back in a year.
It'd be dope if we told people, just tell one person about the show, and they just tweeted it at us.
Like, well, sometimes
one person.
I feel strange when I'm tweeting from the Chrome Bills Twitter account and tagging myself, and then I'm like, well, do I retweet this? Like, am I... this is very strange.
Very meta.
That is the fucking hilarious perspective.
I did say twitted, by the way.
Twitted.
Twitted it.
Twitted you.
Twitted it.
All right, so at the end of the show, we're going to hear... what's it called? Postpathic Profiteers?
Yes, Postpathic Profiteers.
Postpathic Profiteers by Broken Clock.
I'm excited to hear this.
It's banging.
Yeah.
These are just three zany guys waking up in the morning with you on radio.
We got eyes in the sky, we got feet on the ground. Are you ready?
All right, I got my sponsor. It was a quick one.
Okay.
All right. Special K, Sunshine, and Cool Mo D have teamed up with Old Spice to bring a soap for you, the aging hip-hop community. And it's called Body Body Wash, Body Body Wash.
Body Body Wash, Body Body Wash, Wash.
In West Coast and East Coast scents.
That's amazing.
Get on that Cool Mo D. Make some money.
Are we done?
Yeah.
I'm so tired.
Yeah, we're done.
It's been fun as always. This is Chrome Bills, episode 15. Seize mics.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody.
Steve Bills, K. Chrome.
Steve Bills.
Signing off. 1, 2, 3, 4.
We're in the business of being bad. Bad at understanding. And business is good. The market requires no soul researching. Patterns of a populace cherry picked by window shopping. Desperate displays of a normal nobody knows. Yet everyone expects to own. Give us your wired, your bored, befuddled asses. Staring at TVs. What color code debt they don't have yet? Buy them in black, sell them in red. Atomize the nuclear family. Itemize the cost of conception. Insure brains against bodies. Put pills in your bottles and on your plates. Grow more grains than our bellies can hold. The star for retention, scream for scraps. When the yes men start telling you no, the pyramids were dreams till the schemes collapsed. We're in the business of being bad. Bad at understanding. And business is good. The market requires no soul researching. Patterns of a populace cherry picked by window shopping. Desperate displays of a normal nobody knows. Yet everyone expects to own. We walk a mile in the shoes of urban youth and sell fear in the form of fast food. We put your head on our shoulders and say they're there. By the way, the monsters are real. We burn books about how to build bridges, then let the fire extinguish foundations. We build cages and call them schools, then funnel all the rats into bigger cages. We killed hemp and electric cars. We sell planets and sex with stars. We only fight to collect the scars. We didn't think it would get this far. We're in the business
to being bad. Bad at understanding, and thanks to your brand loyalty, you know business is good. The market requires no soul researching. Patterns of a populace cherry picked by window shopping. Desperate displays of a normal nobody knows. Yet everyone expects to own. We feel for you like a hand which was full of figs, then bitten by upright pigs. Like a limb which was lost at sea, while fishing for compliments. Like the empathy you tried to grasp, couldn't hold without dropping cash. Like the pedestals where you place heroes to watch them fall from grace. Like the prayers you pray, like the flags you wave, like the wars you wage, because your God is gay. Postpathic profiteers. No.